Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, November 2005. Last month, I concluded my discussion on the topic of drugs and their widespread use in sport. In a three-part series dedicated to this topic, I reviewed what side effects and risks the use of various doping agents have and tried to provide what I think is a sound and logical alternative. That is, nutrition supplements, whole, fresh food, and intense routine physical training with purpose. Drug use is a personal decision and not to be condemned. Condemnation only destroys the possibility of creating relationship and the promotion of health and does nothing to prevent the use of drugs. Quality education at a young age is necessary, as well as setting a good example for everyone. Kids have a hard time today taking advice from hypocrites or fundamentalists hell-bent on fire and damnation. They respect the truth, and they want answers from people who are cool and non-judgmental. They need to see role models create excellent health and beautiful physiques naturally, drug-free. Then they'll know it's possible. Then they will believe. In this edition of Clinical Review, I'd like to begin a discussion on body typing for athletes. It was Dr. Roger Williams who first introduced the modern world to the concept of biochemical individuality. He believed that genetics and nutrition were connected, and that poor nutrition influenced gene expression in a very negative way. He was absolutely right. Williams emphasized the importance of individuality as a crucial factor in nutrition, claiming that certain individuals must have special nutritional environments if they are to thrive. Now deceased, Dr. Williams was a professor of chemistry at the University of Texas, the author of several best-selling books, and the discoverer of pantothenic acid, or vitamin B5, called the anti-stress vitamin. That we are individuals may come as no surprise, but when it comes to formulating a dietary strategy designed to optimize athletic performance and body composition, Lucretius was correct when he wrote more than 2,000 years ago, "What is one man's meat is another man's poison." Dr. Barry Sears, author of The Zone, describes food as a powerful drug, encouraging all of us to think of food not only as a source of calories, but as a control system for hormones. More and more nutrition scientists are warning us about the implications of choosing the wrong food base, and it's no longer a question of simple deficiency. There are many naturally occurring food chemicals which, for some individuals, are absolutely incompatible to their health. Theoglycosides, for example, occur naturally in the brassica family, which includes most varieties of cabbage, turnips, kale, rutabaga, watercress, and rapeseed. Individuals with known or suspected hypothyroidism should avoid eating an abundance of these plants raw, as these substances are known to damage thyroid function or impair thyroid hormone activity. Impairment of thyroid activity directly affects metabolic rate and body temperature, as well as body composition. Nightshade vegetables, which include potatoes, tomatoes, red and green peppers, eggplant, and paprika, contain solanine, a glycoalkaloid associated with causing arthritic pain. Parsnips contain poisonous chemicals called sorrelins. Sorrelins are proven carcinogens. Spinach, rhubarb, and cocoa beans are high in oxalic acid, which interferes with calcium absorption. All breads and cereals contain phytates formed from phytic acid that bind with zinc, preventing its absorption from the intestinal tract into the blood. All foods are not created equal, and they do influence human phenotype, our expression, in countless biochemical ways. But in defense of these natural foods, it is also critical to mention their biodirectional nature. For example, phytic acid, while having the ability to bind zinc, also functions as a protective antioxidant. Phytic acid protects DNA, inhibits abnormal cell proliferation, and strengthens natural killer cell activity. Likewise, brassica plants contain sulforaphanes, now recognized for their chemoprotective actions. Broccoli sprouts contain glycosinolate precursors that have anti-carcinogenic properties. Sulforaphane can also eradicate the bacterium Helicobacter pylorum associated with peptic ulcers and stomach cancer, the second most common cancer in the world. I just had a friend phone me who had a severe tragedy recently. He almost died. He started to hemorrhage and he had to get rushed to the emergency. And this guy is a strong bodybuilder. He's about 50. He was diagnosed with his Helicobacter pylorum, chronic ulcer. And for years, he had ignored the fact that his body was giving him signs and symptoms that any naturopath would clearly have identified with this bacterium. So we have to understand these messages and focus on the red flags and the green lights when it comes to our health. Very, very important stuff. Individual people differ not only in their genetic makeup, but also in their metabolic efficiency and nutritional requirements. One of the most important principles in natural medicine is the principle of individual biochemistry. Although we are all composed of the same elements and require many of the same essential nutrients for survival, each one of us will always exhibit a wide range of individual need. This factor is further complicated by lifestyle, climate, stress, emotional state, age, mental health, exercise, and environmental pollution. Knowing your individual body type regarding how it works and how it functions is important. This knowledge will bring you closer to understanding your biochemical needs. By studying the research and examining different theories from various experts in the field, you can achieve more confidence in your food and exercise selection, which ultimately empowers your ability to build muscle, reduce body fat, and generally improve your health. There's definitely a certain satisfaction in knowing who you are. And what's more, you'll discover a means of confirming what you've always suspected to be true about yourself. The four blood types. Our blood type is like our hair, eye color, and voice pattern. It's a genetic blueprint for who we are and is medically recognized as a method for interpreting variations in health and disease. Basically, there are four blood types. Do you know yours? Type O, A, B, and AB. This is called the ABO blood group system. No one knows with absolute certainty why humans ended up with four different blood types. We just know that we did. It is generally believed that our ancestors all carried the same original blood group, type O, for original. As the human race moved about the planet hunting and gathering for survival over thousands of years, new foods and changes in the environment led to adaptations in our physiology and morphology, which allowed us to survive. Morphology is the science concerned with the configuration or structure of animals and plants. Theoretically, natural selection and genetic mutation contributed as a biological pattern of adaptation resulting in blood type variation. Again, we've got four blood types, but your guess is as good as mine, ours, and the rest of the world. Evolution, biological science, has their view. Maybe we are pollinations from another species. Who knows? The ABO blood grouping concept is based on two agglutinogens called A and B. From each parent, we inherit a specific gene responsible for producing these agglutinogens. There are six possible combinations, including double O, AO, double A, B-O, double B, and A-B. Double O produces type O blood. A-O and A-A produce A blood. B-O and B-B produce type B blood, and A-B produces type A-B blood. You've most likely heard of Rh negative and Rh positive. These blood groups were named for the rhesus monkey, in whose blood it was first discovered, and are an important factor only for childbearing women. Rhesus is spelled R-H-E-S-U-S. So the Rh in rhesus is what Rh negative and Rh positive is all about. That's the connection. Certain women carry a different blood type than their babies. Women who are Rh negative, which is about 15% of females, can produce antibodies to their babies if their babies carry their father's Rh positive blood type. This usually occurs after sensitization during their first pregnancy, but later, with subsequent pregnancies, they can get into all kinds of complications because of how the blood types antagonize each other. It can cause miscarriage or even fatality in the mother. So thank goodness for science and the fact that we've been able to identify blood types and blood type subgroups. Each blood type has a unique antigen or chemical marker with its own chemical structure and produces antibodies to other blood types. Most of us have agglutinin antibodies or isoantibodies, as they are called, that occur naturally in our blood plasma. It is these special guardians that react to the presence of incompatible blood. If the wrong blood is donated to someone in need of a blood transfusion, antigen-antibody complexes are formed. This reaction activates an immune response in the form of plasma proteins produced by the complement family. Complement proteins are extremely powerful and will damage the donated blood cells, causing them to burst and release hemoglobin, which then can damage the kidneys and cause all kinds of havoc throughout the system. The four blood types are named according to the specific antigen present on every individual's red blood cells. Blood type O antigen is the most simple and common, consisting of long chains of a repeating sugar called fucose. It is present as a base in all blood types. Someone with type O blood can give their blood to anyone, but can only receive blood from another person with type O. Thus, type O is known as the universal donor. Blood type A is a combination of fucose and N-acetylgalactosamine. It carries anti-B antibodies and rejects blood type B. Most Hawaiians, Japanese, and American Indians are blood type A. Blood type B is formed by combining the O antigen fucose with D-galactosamine. It carries anti-A antibodies and rejects blood type A. It is the third most common of the four blood types. Blood type AB is a combination of fucose and the two sugars unique to type A and B, which include N-acetylgalactosamine and D-galactosamine. Someone with type AB blood can receive blood from anyone, but can give their blood to no one else except another type AB. They are called universal recipients, and AB blood type is indeed the rarest blood type on the planet. Many foods contain protein structures called lectins, which are incompatible with specific blood type antigens. Lectins are defined as proteins that bind or cross-link with carbohydrates. Gluten, for example, is one of the most common lectins. It is present in wheat, which, as a major food staple in North America, poses a potentially significant health risk. This is one of the reasons I do not recommend eating bread, pasta, buns, bagels, or cakes and cookies as food staple items. Yes, even fresh ground whole wheat meal flour can be a problem. However, this idea is completely foreign to mainstream thinking, as most of us had bread stuffed down our throat since infancy, along with pasteurized cow's milk, biscuits, candy, and refined breakfast cereals. Bread is so intricately woven into our paradigm of sound nutrition that some people cannot accept life as a possibility without a ration of their so-called daily bread. If the wrong foods are eaten by someone with a specific blood type, lectins can target organs and whole systems, resulting in cell clumping or an agglutinization effect. This can cause or aggravate intestinal inflammation, allergies, nervous disorders, weight management problems, and arthritis. It's like Inflammation City. Most dietary lectins are attacked and neutralized by a functionally strong and healthy immune system. But a small percentage of lectins can filter into the bloodstream, causing damage and destruction to both red and white blood cells. Trouble is, the effect is subtle and usually occurs over a long period of time. The headaches, bloating, joint inflammation, and allergies people frequently experience out of the blue in their 30s and 40s and 50s can very well be associated with long-term consumption of certain foods incompatible to their unique biochemical disposition. And the worst thing is, they don't know. They go to the doctor, they take prescribed medication, which does not cure the problem at all because the problem is actually associated with the lectins they're getting in the food. So meanwhile, the drugs have potent free radical damage potential and cause more damage, and the person just gets worse and worse and worse. Blood type antigens have a unique biological structure, and certain lectins can therefore interact with specific blood types because they fit the shape of the target blood type. So eating certain foods, especially grains and many lentils and legumes, or certain meats, can disrupt our biochemical harmony and cause damage to millions of cells throughout the body. It's something to consider in the scheme of health and disease, at least as a link, if not as a major cause. Mainstream conventional medicine denies any connection between blood type and food, yet the investigative research of both Dr. Peter D'Adamo and his father, Dr. James D'Adamo, provides evidence to the contrary. In his best-selling book, Eat Right for Your Type, Dr. Peter D'Adamo reveals important information about blood and its connection to health and disease. Perhaps most importantly, he instills the knowledge and insight about long-term prevention of chronic degenerative disease. After reading the book, I was impressed by the similarity between my own diet without reference to blood type and what D'Adamo advocated to someone with my blood type, which is blood type B. Over time and through personal experience, I have definitely established a negative response to foods that D'Adamo does not recommend for my blood type, such as corn, peanuts, and tomatoes. And much of what he says makes perfect sense. It's so simple. Could it be that easy and straightforward? I've also seen many clients and students improve their health status by following his general recommendations. In the very least, and whether you agree with this notion that food and blood type are connected, you'll discover by reading the book why people are attracted to and engaged in this very popular paradigm. Understanding the wherefore and the why always helps improve our tolerance and, even better, our acceptance of new ideas. Isn't it best to examine something in detail or try it on first before denying or criticizing it or trying to destroy it or ridicule it? I like to investigate such matters of interest using a heads-up, eyes-open approach. Objective science and logic is my rod of divination. Then from a position of confidence and relative awareness of the idea or concept, I think it's possible to communicate with almost anyone without fear, intimidation, or imposition. I like to build relationship with people, not destroy it. Education is a powerful thing, but compassion and understanding are crucial in the natural health profession. Ideally, an educated man or woman is reasonable, peaceful, and extremely confident. Respecting the position, belief, and experience of others, however unique or different, helps build bridges of friendship and trust. It is what we need to heal the world. It also helps people damaged by corruption and betrayal to restore their faith in goodwill, which ultimately improves their ability to help themselves along their own personal and private path of achieving wellness. For more information on blood type, you can visit www.diadamo.com. That's D-A-D-A-M-O.com. D'Adamo. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He is great who is what he is from nature and who never reminds us of anyone else.